You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm April Baer. They say the show has to go on. I don't know if they were really thinking about a global pandemic. While movie theaters are shut down, the Ann Arbor Film Festival is moving to online streaming. One of the films featured this year covers the history of a storied place in the public education landscape.
For the past 2 weeks in Ann Arbor, Michigan, parents and many children have been waiting in line, sometimes freezing weather. They're hoping to get into the school of their choice, the district's only alternative public high school.
Donald Harrison and his production company, Seven Cylinders, have matriculated a four-year project. It's a documentary film about community high school, the Ann Arbor school that's known for its free-spirited curriculum. The film is called Welcome to Commie High. It traces the school's origin story and the kind of experience it's given to thousands of graduates over the years.
I think that community high school's entire culture is built towards trying to make as many people as possible find that thing that they're passionate about.
What I walked away from that school with is confidence in that I can take care of myself. That was a big one.
It was phenomenal. I mean, I don't think I'll ever see that again.
Donald Harrison, who grew up in the Detroit suburbs, is the founder of Seven Cylinders Studio, and he produced and directed Welcome to Commie High. He's with us today. Donald, welcome to Stateside.
Great to be here with you, April.
So for the uninitiated, could you give us the breakdown of what makes community high school's curriculum unique?
Well, so it was part of this free school movement from the late 60s, early 70s, when there was a lot going on in the country that was very turbulent times. And so these schools started that were very anti-establishment, but really based on these humanistic ideas of what education could be. And so hundreds of these opened all around the United States. And most of them, if not all, pretty much closed down or evolved into something that's very much different.
A little more
sort
conventional.
Of traditional.
Yeah.
Exactly. And community high school, to this day, still has that same foundation, that blueprint and DNA in it, which is really expressing your individual creativity, developing who you are as a person. And it's really this humanistic approach to education, which is a different model and philosophy than what I came out of when I came, went to a public high school here in Michigan.
The first time I ever heard it mentioned, it was described to me as, in its early iterations, as the Antioch College of public high schools. Is that fair?
The reputation conversation is a fun one, although it can be a sore spot for some of the alumni because they were often labeled things like the misfits or the losers or the dropouts, the burnouts, things like that, which, you know, was a label put on something that was different. And when you're different, you get labels such as getting called a commie. And so that was something that most, not all, but most of the alumni embraced. At one point, there were varsity jackets that students had that said Commie High on the back because they really wanted to embrace that sort of outsider status. And, you know, eventually that started to become cool in the 90s.
You alluded to your own high school experience being much more traditional and standard than this. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that and maybe how that influenced your interest in community high?
Definitely. I think I went to a more typical high school. It was, a big high school in the Detroit suburbs. And, in many ways, it was considered a good high school. I did very well on paper in terms of varsity athlete and top of my class. But in terms of me as a person, it was the worst time of my life. And nobody would have known that. Nobody would have seen that or made sure that I wasn't slipping through the cracks. And so success at that point in my life wasn't something that I felt and experienced. And a lot of that had to do with what was going on in my family, the breakdown of my own family. But I then didn't have a school that was supporting me at a time where that really would have made a huge difference. And as you know, teenage years can be pretty, pretty tough on a lot of kids. And so, for me, I got very interested in this place that did school differently and had this more humanistic, relationship-oriented approach to education and creates more of a family-like structure within a public school. And so that really got me most curious about it, especially when I heard that there had been a two-week camp out for students who wanted to get into the school in the 90s. And that sort of was my entry point, is trying to understand why would people camp out for 2 weeks or anything, let alone to go to a public school.
From the opening minutes of the credits, this is not exactly a standard loving treatment of a venerated counterculture institution. The tone of the music, the way images are sort of layered and collaged. You've mentioned that the film draws creative inspiration from the ethos of the school. What exactly did that mean to you?
Well, it's a place that's very much based on expression, self-expression, and really understanding what students are interested in and try to encourage them to pursue that. So that's something that is part of this idea of the school without walls. Community High is supposed to be involved with the community. And so for us, we really wanted to make sure that our film also had that expression and had a creativity imbued in it. And we really tried to make sure that there was sort of that life, breathe life into this portrait of a place and looking at, well, what is possible within public education? That was really a question driving this film, and really try to make sure that we follow people, alumni and students. We followed a year in the school, 2016, 2017, which was a pretty pivotal year. If you remember a certain election that plays out in the backdrop of our movie. And so for us, music is a character. Like the soundtrack, we have over 20 bands and musicians from Community High who contributed to the soundtrack. And that's a whole nother voice that helps carry these storylines through in the film.
There's so many priceless clips, sort of historical footage throughout the film, many of them videos produced by Community High students for assignments. One of them sort of runs like an infomercial.
Cotton underwear, get a close-up on the cotton underwear.
Others are like punk rock videos. It must have been just a total joy going through all the found footage that you had access to for this.
I have loved working on this project, and that is one of the reasons. There has been amazing archival materials, and it's one of the aspects of our project I'm excited about still as we get the film done, and we're premiering at the Ann Arbor Film Festival, which is going to be very exciting to have that here in our hometown. But we're doing an online archive of all this extra material that did not make it into our 93-minute film. And there's gold. There's a lot of archival footage. There's articles from the Ann Arbor News that are all being put together in a partnership with the Ann Arbor District Library and will be publicly accessible on the second part of our whole documentary project.
It's an AV Club member's delight.
Exactly.
How has Community High School's persona had to change through the years?
You know, that's a great question because it's evolved. And if you talk to alum who went there in the 70s or the 80s, obviously times have changed and the school has changed with them. And the fact that it's still running, it's still, in existence, it still has those foundational blueprint philosophy that it follows, it is obviously not as radical. You know, when it first started, it was said that they didn't have any rules. No rules. There were guidelines, but there were no rules for this school. Well, of course, they had to put in some rules. And along the years, you know, when there were certain, you know, accidents or tragedies that happened, you have to adapt. And so the school really did adapt. But I think what I saw is that even though maybe it wasn't quite as, you know, it's not quite as quote unquote cool as it might have been in the 80s with the punkers and the skaters, it's still very much an alternative to what the traditional high school model, the more factory template driven education that I came out of, it still is a very different place. And that was actually really brought to light for me when I had an opportunity to have a student from Ipsy High shadow me for a day. You know, I was asked if this kid who was interested in film could spend a day with me. And I was actually teaching a class at Community, working on our film with students at Community High. So I brought this young student from Ipsy there, and he wasn't at all impressed with the building and the facilities. It's nothing remarkable. It was an old high school that had been repurposed and closed down from desegregation in the 60s. And so the building and the facility aren't remarkable. But what he said after was the way those students there talked about being students and their relationship to the school was very different to him. And it's really this different culture, this different philosophy that we wanted to bring to life through this film and have people really ask questions about what are we trying to do with our young people as they grow into adulthood? Is it really this factory where they all learn kind of the same thing and get through it Like for me, it was just get through it and then I can go figure out who I am. Well, why not start that when you're 14, 15, 16? And I will say that on this project, I've met hundreds, if not 1,000 alum, and it's an incredibly high ratio of these alum who talk about how they loved going to high school, or they don't just talk about it in the way of, you know, I love my mascot or, you know, the fight song for my school, but they truly had a deeply profound personal connection with teachers, with other students, across classes. And that's something that really stood out for me. And it's a question that we want to make sure people are asking is what's possible and where are we heading with public education?
Well, what about that? I mean, watching the film, you get a strong sense of how few kids will ever have access to this kind of an education. The footage of the camp out, all of the interviews that reflect in one way or another a fact that this was a rare chance for them. I mean, you don't sugarcoat the fact that very few kids of color have access to something like this, even within the lottery system that the district has set up. Does community high matter if it's only a handful of kids who get this experience?
That is a really important question in our film. It's a question of access and equity. And so, you know, for us at this point, they came up with this lottery because it's the most fair of an unfair situation where you have so many students who want to go there and they don't have enough space for it. And so the school has made great effort to try to, you know, diversify the student body, but within the system it's in, there's only so much that they can do. And so it really, to me, it starts to get into these deeper, more complex questions of, well, who has access? And just because you say it's open to anyone doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to think it's for them. Or, you know, you have even just getting to a place. And that's, to me, as we look at where we're at in the state of Michigan with education, which I think, you know, is one of, you know, ranking kind of towards the bottom in the United States, and where we're heading as a country with education, you know, we have this idea of school of choice, and yet who has the ability to drive their child across town or the next town? And so, you know, as we look at the systems, you know, rather than say, well, community is not available to everyone, let's get rid of it. To me, the question might be, what can we extrapolate from this? What can we learn? You know, it's not the perfect school. We shouldn't just have communities everywhere. But how does this work and what can we do to build off of that and learn from it when we think about school of choice and the fact that right now that's not a fair choice for a lot of families and a lot of kids in our state and in our country?
There was one quote in the film that was so poignant. It was a parent who herself had gone, who was talking about the fact that she wanted to encourage her daughter to apply for the lottery, but her daughter like had this reticence. She didn't want to build herself up to the idea that she might get to go to this really cool school for 4 years and then lose the lottery, you know, not make out in the lottery and then have to go to another high school altogether. It really, it so speaks to what happens when you have an opportunity that's so limited. I mean, what were your observations of watching the lottery process play out?
It's intense. You know, you had an alum, you know, who went there in the 80s at a point where they were desperate for students. They were trying to stay open. So they had to recruit actively to get students to come. And they had to overcome this reputation that this wasn't a place parents wanted to send their kid. And then as they started to have, you know, these great test results and started to sort of show that they actually could really graduate students who'd go off and go to college and do great things, that shifted. You know, early 90s, it became, you know, alternative became cool and community became the place people wanted to go. So then you fast forward and, you know, this alum who's in our film and we follow and get to know, her daughter's in eighth grade. And, you know, we didn't know if she was going to be able to go, if she was going to get in. We weren't even sure she was going to even apply because, like you said, it's hard to want something and then not know if, you know, you're going to get lucky and be able to get in. And, you know, to this day, we just had the lottery draw for Community High, and I have friends whose children got in. They were very happy and excited, and friends who didn't, and they were upset. And so we still have a situation where there's not, you know, equity and access to education. And I have other parents who had a kid get in and go, and a kid who didn't, and they sent them to private school. They had the means to pay, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, And they said that the quality of education was easily on par. And so if we can deliver, you know, private school quality education for free, but only for a small number who are lucky, what is that system really, really, how, why is it set up that way? What can we do moving forward to try to give that type of education or something like that to more students?
Did you get any surprises as you put the film together, either in terms of just what you saw and who you talked to, or how the school dealt with, you know, the very serious challenges that come up when you have an unstructured environment?
Yeah, we filmed, you know, a year in the life of the school, and we sort of made two movies in one April. It was probably the hardest part of our film, is an archival film covering 45 years of a place that changed over time, and really, I think, in many ways reflect a lot of the sociopolitical fabric of America over those 45 years. But then following a year of the school, and we didn't know what was going to happen, and we really sort of had to respond and follow what we thought was interesting and reflecting what was unique about this place. And that really led us into a storyline towards the end of the film where one of the students has, you know, a situation where her father's thrown in detainment and maybe is going to be deported. And this is early 2017. And so there's, you know, an entire school mobilization, and there's the local, you know, or the student newspaper, the journalist who covers the story, and it becomes a much bigger story. And to us, that was something we didn't know was going to happen, and so it surprised us. But then watching how the philosophy, the relationship of the students, the administration, the teachers, that played out in a way that we found really brought sort of this whole philosophy to life of what community is about.
Donald Harrison is the founder of Seven Cylinder Studio. His film, Welcome to Kami High, will premiere as part of this year's Ann Arbor Film Festival. Check the information on our website. Donald, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, April.